Welcome to Mind Walk. Produced at Upstart Radio for Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Radio Free Moscow, IndieMedia.org, RadioForAll.net, community and micropower stations worldwide.
The amount of energy and money and creativity that goes into distracting the audience from whatever relevancy is a serious issue. And the fact that people in television talk about it as a phenomena outside of themselves and they point to it as opposed to including television as part of the problem. Television, in its structure, with all due respect to my agreeing with a lot of what you're saying, TV in itself is part of the problem. We discuss serious issues by image rather than text.
It's not TV, it's the people who run TV. We were talking to Dan Rather. In William Paley's day, he did not care that the news division lost money because he had plenty of money. It was worth something more to him that the news division was a lost leader, and he had the respect of the community because he performed the service of the Fourth Estate. I don't know why these rich motherfuckers today, who have even more money than William S. Paley, why don't they just say, you know what, we're going to lose $5 million this year in the news division, but we're not going to broadcast Scott Peterson.
I mean, that is an important question. That is an important
question. But you'd have
fact.
To ask them. I mean, you know, why? What do you think?
Well, this is what's happening in newspapers, too, is that the papers that are owned by families who care about their civic responsibility and are willing to lose money year after year, unfortunately, are the only surviving big papers anymore. You see what happened to the LA Times. It's being cobbled up. And, you know, how it's going to all shake out is really scary for journalists who want to make sure that there is always a platform that at least tries to be impartial and dig for the truth. Because right now you're seeing this collapse of support for the mainstream media for all the critiques that you and others have of it, and an economic push that's really going to, it could really destroy it. And then you're going to be left with entertainment news or blogging news, which is mainly opinion derived from the facts that the mainstream media produces. So I don't think we know yet where it's going to end, but I also think that, you know, it's not just the corporations doing X to us. I mean, people have a choice of what they view and what they read, and if they don't like this stuff,
with media consolidation, they have less and less choice of what they
do.
And the greed knows no bottom. You know, is the waters are sharkier than they were.
When you say we're going to see how it shakes out, it means there's nothing we can do.
And also, I think that's a bit of a cop-out. The media, the Fourth Estate, always took it upon themselves to be a bit of an editor. As someone once said, yes, if you put Shakespeare on against pornography, it would, of course, lose to the pornography. People would just naturally turn to that. But it was sort of the obligation of the media to educate us, to edit, and they used to do that for us. That's what they don't do anymore.
I can see you. Well, firstly, let me say perhaps it's easier to deny that this is a civil war when essentially you live in the most heavily fortified place in the country within the Green Zone, which is true of both the Prime Minister, the National Security Advisor for Iraq, and of course the top US military commanders. However, for the people living on the streets, for Iraqis in their home, if this is not civil war or a form of it, then they do not want to see what one really looks like. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about Sunni neighborhoods shelling Shia neighborhoods and Shia neighborhoods shelling back. We're having Sunni communities dig fighting positions to protect their streets. We're seeing Sunni extremists plunging car bombs into heavily populated Shia marketplaces. We're seeing institutionalized Shia death squads in legitimate police and national police commander uniforms going in systematically to Sunni homes in the middle of the night and dragging them out, never to be seen again. If this is not civil war, where there is, on average, 40 to 50 tortured, mutilated, executed bodies showing up on the Capitol streets each morning, where we have thousands of unaccounted for dead bodies mounting up every month, and where the list of those who have simply disappeared for the sake of the fact that they have the wrong name, a name that is either Sunni or Shia, so much so that we have people getting dual identity cards, where parents cannot send their children to school because they have to cross a sectarian line, then goodness me, I don't want to see what a civil war looks like either if this isn't one.
The political overlays are deteriorating rapidly. We have Muqtada al-Sadr threatening to boycott the government of al-Maliki if he meets with President Bush. How do you assess the political situation right now?
Well, you have to look at Muqtada's move here politically as a very, very savvy twisting of the knife. I mean, he lays claim to Prime Minister Maliki just as much, if not more so, than the US military. Maliki has no popular base. He lacks the currency of political power in this country, which is an armed militia. So he's had to beg and borrow for political capital. He found it in the US military, desperate to put any kind of reasonable face on this apparition that they call the Iraqi government.
Thank you. Eric, can you see him?
I can see him, huh? This kid's running forever.
One of these days, I'm going to cut you into little pieces.
We are each other's business.
This is not just hatred of democracy, but it's passionate hatred of democracy. It's not just a small problem, but it's a major problem. In fact, it's a catastrophe.
After World War II, in the name of containing communism, the United States, mostly through the actions of local allies, executed or encouraged coups in, among other places, Guatemala, Brazil, Chile, Uruguay, and Argentina, and patronized a brutal mercenary war in Nicaragua.
What happened in El Salvador and Guatemala and Nicaragua is that the United States turned Central America into one of the last killing fields of the Cold War. In El Salvador, the U.S. supported an anti-communist regime in order to contain an insurgency that resulted in the deaths of something between 60 and 70,000 civilians. In Nicaragua, we supported an anti-communist insurgency, which resulted in the murder of 30 to 40,000 civilians. And in Guatemala, we provided moral justification for a regime that was committing genocide, murdering somewhat around 200,000 civilians.
We are each other's business. We are each other's harvest. We are each other's magnitude and bond. We live in a world where the forces that seek to divide us are strong. To overcome them, we must do more than simply stand next to one another in silence. Action is what separates a belief from an opinion. Beliefs are imprinted through actions.
As long as we keep trying to scramble to get ground under our feet and avoid this uneasy feeling of groundlessness and insecurity and uncertainty and ambiguity or paradox, any of that, the wars will continue, the racial prejudice will continue, the hatred against people of a different, you don't agree with their sexual preferences, you don't agree with their religion, you don't agree with their skin color, you don't agree with their whatever, you know, their politics.
We are each other's business.
I know the pressures of testing these muddy waters and lessons these action taught us, and while we currently caught up, I know that good feeling of spilling your daily dealings, working to keep a ceiling and no lights on where we're living. Come on, they say it gets better, the weather's supposed to change. Police knocking at your door with a warrant, they got your name. Looking for happiness in the belly of the flame and wonder why us niggas caught triggers and drug games. I ain't set a limit, the limit's been coming at me. I gotta get it how I get it, cause I ain't shit free. Envision a better kitchen than living without rest. No education in this complication, my lotto scratch. I know winner, remember killer, no pie filler. Get skriller, keep it real, nigga, I've been living thriller. Honestly, I don't know what I'm doing. I lost prophecy, copping lottery through fish grease, cause it's a part of me. Last sold my cash flow, stacking in layers. The gutters, I taser and saver. Pepper jack like flavor. Buy cheese like it's NBA, I'm pushing these balls. Signed to a hood contract called Screed involved. Same feet the heat, dad, I'm in charge. charge of managing Doughboy Street B. You see this gauge I'm brandishing. Single handed your block, I'm stamping and run rapid. Savage hunting for cabbage, I'm plastered the hood tatted. Swallow a truth bottle when goggle with full throttle. Dope boys know it all, bitch, call me Aristotle. Trapping off the action, the shaft be on me tracking. And beef, beefing up, it's no peace, we all clapping. These hoes giving throw cause this money fatal attraction. And you don't wanna see the gas start splashing. Action, a passion blasting, getting traction. Trapping, macking, fraction, we street tackling. Scripts stay red, like that paper to them blue line scanner. On the channel, we Bama, we trap a true crime. Take a big mood to make enough money to fly Jamaica. 200 bundles a tunnel, my running with money makers. Shake a whole block from the bottom to the top. We pay off the whole street and trap by five spots. Slam X on the concrete, that's 10 appeal. What about 100 pack? I'ma need 10 steel. We crawling in them 32s. Nigga, these rims new. Fascinating to this hole. That'll get you to the more hood rich. Bitch, bubble ditch, I cook suet. Like a DUI crash, that's glass, I goes through it. Holds money and clothes and poles on fire product. I got it. When niggas drop, I'm taxing. See, that's the object. Creased in the midst of the street, my gullet dirty. If you shoot it, that's Bill. If you snort it, that's Shirley.
How do you, I mean, let's think about this. If you know
Sean,
you did something like this, how do you wake up in the morning and not be reminded every waking conscious moment you know the truth?
Yes, I do, Sean,
well,
but I'm
going to
tell you
too.
This right now. Sean, I'm going to tell you this right now. I dealt with people like this for 20 years. They will get up every day. They will kill somebody and go have some chicken at KFC. You will catch them eating chicken and drinking a beer after they just murdered three people. Sean, these people are out there. They're all over the place.
You got into some controversy during your testimony. They tried to paint you as a racist and tear you apart because of what you said. Does that bear any relation to the acquittal of O.J. Simpson? Do you think anything you said
well,
in the way
cares,
you were treated...
Who cares, Ellen? That's apples and oranges now. You will catch them eating chicken and drinking a beer.
You said in the last segment that these people will go and kill someone and go have chicken at KFC. Who
That's
are you talking
right.
about?
I'm talking about a murderer, whether they're white, black, or Caucasian, or they're Mexican. It doesn't make any difference. Sean, I'm going to tell you this right now. I dealt with people like this for 20 years. They will get up every day. They will kill somebody and go have some chicken at KFC. Never seen one, Alan. That's why you wrote that
no,
chapter.
Do you think what you said that, you think that comment could be interpreted as a racist comment? They go up chicken at KFC.
I used to eat chicken at KFC. Alan, you know something? You got a chip on your shoulder, and you want to find something wrong.
No chip on my shoulder.
Somebody.
You're the one who won't answer my question about whether your testimony had
Alan,
anything to do with the acquittal of O.J. Simpson.
Alan, you haven't asked a decent question yet.
Maybe I haven't gotten a decent answer.
That's right. You won't. So keep asking.
What's your I've got the chip on the shoulder, Mark. What's your
yes.
problem?
The problem is, Alan, is you're talking about things that you don't have any knowledge of.
You said in the last segment that these people will go and kill someone and go have chicken at KFC. Who are you talking about?
You are just playing on your emotion and the way you want it to be.
I simply asked you a question, Alan.
Wait a minute.
I think you've got a chip on your shoulder and can't
well,
give me a straight answer to a question.
That's fine. I got a chip on my shoulder. You satisfied? Now let's move on to a real question.
Why do you have a chip on your shoulder?
People like you, Alan. I dealt with people like this for 20 years. They will get up every day. They will kill somebody and go have some chicken at KFC.
From the Diamond District, your CD player.
Freemix Radio.
Radio.
The original mixtape radio show.
The mixtape has emancipatory journalism.
Check it out right here.
I went home to the motherland, and everybody should go home to Africa. Everybody, especially black people. really, man, there is so much to see there for the eye and the heart of the black people. Because white people, you go there and you get ideas.
Well, that's the way the black people in America should be, walking around with sticks.
One thing I got out of it was magic I like to share with you. You know, it's like I was leaving and I was sitting in the hotel and a voice said to me, he said, look around, what do you see? And I said, I see all colors of people doing everything. You know? And the voice said, do you see any niggas? And I said, no. And said, you know why? Because there aren't any. And it hit me like a shot, man. I started crying. And this show was sitting there. I said, yeah, I've been here 3 weeks. I haven't even said it. I haven't even thought it. And it made me say, oh, my God, I've been wrong. I've been wrong. I got to regroup my ish. I mean, I said, I ain't gonna never call another black man a nigga. You know, because we never was no niggas. That's a word that's used to describe our own wretchedness. And we perpetuate it now because it's dead. That word's dead. We men and women, we come from the first people on the earth. You know? First people on the earth were black people, because anthropologists, white anthropologists.
So the white people go, that could be true, you know.
Yeah, Dr. Leakey and them found people remains 5 million years ago in Africa. You know them motherfuckers didn't speak French. So black people, we the first people had thought, right? We the first one to say, where the fuck am I?
And how do you get to Detroit?
So you can take it for what it's worth. I know, like, I ain't trying to preach nothing to nobody. I'm just talking about my feelings about it. And I don't want them hip white people coming up to me calling me no nigga or telling me nigga jokes. I don't like it. I'm just telling you, it's uncomfortable to me. I don't like it when black people say it to me. I really don't no more. It's nothing. It don't mean nothing. So I love y'all, and you take that with you. I guess y'all say it.
The youngest veteran, I go murder them slow. Ragamuffin sent to call me from the bush bungalow. When I watch it make a clear road, my voice now figure out. Emerge from the darkness with me big blood to glow. Me hammer them a slam and spectator get low. Some boy could have big like Bam Bam Bigelow. Bust off trigger finger, trigger end and trigger toe. A two gun me have me bust them in a stereo. Cause I got to keep on walking on the road to Zion. We got to keep it burning on the road to Zion, man. Clean and pure meditation without a doubt. Don't make them take you like who them took out. Jah will be waiting there, we a shout. Jah will be waiting there. Clean and pure meditation without a doubt. Don't make them take you like who them took out. Jah will be waiting there, we a shout. Jah will be waiting there. Got to keep on walking,
yeah.
On the road to Zion,
yeah.
Man.
Been waiting through this track with you, man. Yeah. Ha ha. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. They know.
You got to keep on walking, yeah. On the road to Zion, man.
You gotta keep walking, y'all. Yeah. Yeah. You gotta keep. Sometimes I can't help but feel helpless. I'm having daymares at daytime, wide awake, try to relate. This can't be happening, like I'm in a dream while I'm walking. Cause what I'm seeing is haunting. Human beings like ghosts and zombies. President Mugabe holding guns to innocent bodies in Zimbabwe. They make John Pope seem godly, sacrilegious and blasphemous. In my lifetime, I look back at paths I walked, where savages fought and pastors taught. Prostitutes stomping high heel boots and badges scream at young black children. Stop or I will shoot. I look back and cook crack, clutch cars that pass by. Jaguars, mad fly. And I'm guilty for materialism. Blacks are still up in the prison, trust that. So save me your sorries, I'm raising an army. Revolutionary warfare with Damian Marley. We sparking the irons, marching the Zion. You know how Nas be, NYC state of mind I'm
in. This world of calamity, dirty looks and grudges and jealousy. And police, where you abuse them authority. Media clowns when I know about variety.
Single parents will need some charity. Youths will need some love and prosperity. Instead of broken dreams and tragedy, by any plan and any means and strategy. Say, I got to keep on walking on the road to Zion.
Why don't you explain exactly what happened for the folks who may not know?
I lost my temper on stage. I was at a comedy club trying to do my act, and I got heckled, and I took it badly and went into a rage. And said some pretty nasty things to some Afro-Americans. A lot of trash talk. And
stop laughing. It's not funny.
And what were the you were actually being heckled, or were they just talking and disturbing the act?
That was going on too.
Uh-huh. And did you?
I know. I mean, hearing your audience laugh, you know, and it's. I'm not even sure that this is where I should be. Well, addressing the situation, I've already heard you make some jokes about it, and that's okay, you know. But I'm really busted up over this, and I'm very very sorry to those people in the audience, the blacks, the Hispanics, the whites, everyone that was there that took the brunt of that anger and hate and rage and how it came through, and I'm concerned about. More hate and more rage and more anger coming through, not just towards me, but towards a black-white conflict. There's a great deal of disturbance in this country and how blacks feel about what happened in Katrina. And you know, many of the comics, many performers are in Las Vegas and New Orleans, trying to raise money for what happened there. And for this to happen, for me to be in a comedy club and flip out and say this crap, you know, I'm deeply, deeply sorry. And I'll get to the force field of this hostility, why it's there, why the rage is in any of us. Why the trash takes place, whether or not it's between me and a couple of hecklers in the audience, or between this country and another nation. The rage did go all over the place. It went to everybody in the room. But you can't, you know, blacks could feel, I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this. And yet, it's said. It comes through. It fires out of me, and even now, in the passion and the that's here as I confront myself. I did. I apologized to quite a few people, but I didn't talk to all of everyone. They left. And I don't know how to get in touch with those people. And then, of course, they've gone to press, as I think they should. The fact that there's that kind of solidarity and confronting that kind of those kinds of remarks, I think it's important for the Afro-American community to make sure this kind of crap doesn't come about. I'm sorry that it happened.
And having apologized, is there much more you can do, much more you would like to do?
I just have to do personal work.
This has been Mind Walk, an Upstart Radio production.